From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 10th day of June 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes from Total Farm Marketing in Hollister, Missouri. And as we close out our time together, we'll take an extended look at the agricultural weather forecast in the Northern Hemisphere, working our way from the eastern part of the United States through the Midwest, the Northern Plains, and out into China, Ukraine, and finishing up in Europe on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand. Just click and play right out of the website at willag.org, willag.org. Now let's take a moment for some calm and peace and listen to the rainfall that came through Champaign County about 8 o'clock this morning. Now here are the numbers as they settled in Chicago. July corn down a penny and a quarter today at 326 and a quarter. December 341 and a half, 1 3/4 lower. And the March futures at 353 and a quarter, down 2 cents. July soybeans up 2 1/4, 865 and a half. The settlement price, the August at 867 and 3/4, a penny and 3/4 higher. And November beans at 877, up a half. The bean oil futures for the day finished the nearby contract 23 cents higher, and the bean meal up $1.70 for the afternoon. A soft red winter wheat July contracted 506 and a quarter, up a penny and 3/4. The hard red July 457 and a half, the settlement price there down 0.25 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby June 27.5 cents higher at $96.60. August on out were lower. That August contract down $1.30 at $96.50. August feeder cattle down $1.57 and a half at $132.67 and a half for 100 pounds, and lean hogs in the June at $47.85. 22.5 cents lower on the day. The crude oil at $38.78 or thereabouts, around 84 cents higher. Ethanol futures unchanged. Heating oil or diesel fuel up 2 3/10 of a cent. And the wholesale gas price at $1.21 and a half. That's about 0.5 cent higher for the day. Natural gas, 1 4/10 cents higher at $1.78 and a 10th of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at around 27,268. That's just about unchanged. U.S. dollar is at 95.82, and that's down 0.501 for the afternoon. We're now joined by Jackie Vakes. She's at Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. Hey, Jackie, thank you so much for being with us for the afternoon.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with the support and resistance levels, please.
Okay. Again, I'm just going to give you the support and the resistance, and remember, these are based on monthlies. We have July 308, support 329, resistance. December 325, support 355, resistance. That's a little bit of higher change. Beans, July 829, support 875, resistance. November 849, support 891, resistance. Dow Jones, 25,230 is support. And this week, 29,568, the old high, is now resistance because of how much the Dow has jumped. U.S. dollar is interesting. 95.31 is support and 97.87 is resistance. We have been down on the U.S. dollar now 11 out of the last 12 trading days. And the one day that wasn't down was just a sideways day. So I guess, you know, that says volumes for improvement in the world economy.
We'll get to some of the fundamentals of supply and demand in a moment, but I'd like to know where managed money is laying their bets this week.
Well, they went from 6,000 short to 17,000 short on soft red wheat, from 261 short to 274 short on corn. Now, we know that the 300,000 area is usually an area that they tend to turn around in. Beans, they are long 21,000 compared to 8,000 last week. Soy meal, short 49 compared to 42 last week. Soy oil, long 15 compared to 9. So they continue to add, you know, to the longs on the soybeans and the soy oil, and the shorts on corn, soy meal, and soft red wheat.
USDA report is due out tomorrow. What do you expect from the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates?
Well, I've got the average guesses for corn production at 15.924. We were at 15.995 last month, so that's a reduction. Corn yield 178.5. 178.5 is where we were last month. Bean production 4.152 billion compared to 4.125. And that's an increase from last month. Soybean yield 50 versus 49.8. So that's where it came from. It's just that little pop up. Carryout for this year, 2.154 billion for corn. That's up slightly from last month. 584 million for beans. That's a 4 million bushel change from last month. Wheat, 980. That'd be a 2 million bushel change from last month. Now, 2021, corn is expected to have a 3.34 billion carryout compared to 3.318 last month, so that's slightly higher. Beans, 459 million compared to 405 last month, and wheat, 904 versus 909. You look at the world numbers, and this is what you would expect. I mean, these are this year's numbers, 315.1 for corn, just up slightly. Beans identical to last month at 100.3, wheat, 294.7 metric tons. That's down just slightly. Now, for next year, they're expecting 337.6, excuse me, and that is down a couple million metric tons from May. Beans, 100.1, that's up from 98.4 in the May report. And wheat at 307.5, which is down from the May report. Now, you look at Brazil, they are expecting 99.6 on corn. It was 101 last month, 123 on beans, 124 last month. Argentina, 49.9 on corn. It was 50 last month, so it's very close to the same. And 50.8 on beans, and that was 51 last month. So not an awful lot of changes, which isn't unusual for this particular report. I mean, the minute we're done with this report, everybody's eyes turn over to the grain stocks and acres report at the end of the month.
North Dakota has been behind in planting. Of course, their corn planting data is past, and I think their soybean planting data is soon, maybe today.
I think it is today. I think it is today. But when you look at their corn was rated 77% good to excellent this week. That's up 75% good to excellent on beans. That's also up. Corn, they're planted 87% compared to 96 on a five-year average. Emerged 52 versus 77 on a five-year average. Beans, 74% planted versus 92 on the five-year average, and emerged on beans, 32% versus 61% on the five-year average. I mean, in North Dakota right now, we're playing with fire, basically, is what it is, because it's going to all come down to whether they end up with an early frost at some point in time and whether they choose to continue to plant, even though they're past the insurance date. That's going to be the big one. This week, they actually only picked up about, 4%, I think, on the planting. So it wasn't huge, but we'll have to wait and see.
Let's talk a little bit about fundamentals. One of the best ways for a crop to move through the system is through livestock. How do exports look, particularly in the Americas for, I suppose, pork?
Well, they came out with some pretty interesting information from January through April. Pork exports in the U.S. are up 58%. Of that, 892% increase from China and a 14% increase from non-China. Brazil, 57% up, 221% increase from China, and they're actually negative 6% from non-China. Canada, 26% up, 118% increase from China, and 0.7% from non-China. So it's really moving around is what it is.
So China has been in the process, I think, of buying soybeans from both North and South America. Those have picked up from the United States as of recent. They're pretty good purchasers, meaning their plan is always to buy from the lowest cost producer at that point. So that's what they've been up to. I want you to talk a little bit about that, and then maybe to turn that around and put it into the pork exports and what you think has happened with the Chinese hog herds as it relates to ASF.
Well, you know, yes, they do continue to buy beans, which is really kind of surprising. This week they took them out of the Atlantic and the interior. I think when you look at the big picture, There's going to be a lot of things changing down in South America. Brazil, we are hearing of people who are switching sugar loading over to soybean loading. So I expect that we're going to see some additional sales coming out, primarily because the lines for the sugar are just so long and it costs so much with these ships just sitting there, so they can flip them if they want to, and that's what they've really been doing. When you look at China, their pork herd is coming back. It's not going to come back fast, but it's definitely coming back from the ASF. And so, we're hopeful that this is going to be a continuing trend of increased sales to them. We do have to remember that Smithfield is owned by China here in the United States, so that's another big incentive to be able to send pork, over to China. But I do think that this is a good sign. They, even though the government told them a week ago, don't buy anymore, they still continue to buy. And so, yay for them and yay for us.
And finally, I know you've been following the travails of a primary grain company in Argentina as it goes through bankruptcy. Can you tell me a little bit about that and what you think it means?
Well, Vincent, and what it means to me, Todd, is that we are so blessed in the U.S. government or U.S. to have the government situation we have. Let's hope it stays that way, because just a few days ago, Vincent, and the country's main opposition party and the National Oilseed Crushing people all voiced that they didn't want the government to nationalize this company. In other words, take it over. They said that they were going to do anything they could do to protect the firm's rights. And of course, we always kind of knew that this was probably going to be a big problem down there with the new regime that they have. They claimed that legitimately, they were right in the fact that they basically declared bankruptcy last December, and that they were going through the process that would take, to be able to honor all their commitments. They owe about $350 million to grain suppliers, and their overall debt is estimated at $1.5 billion. Now, when you look at them, basically, they're 90 years old, is how long they've been around. They're in textiles, agriculture, agricultural products. They are also involved in biodiesel production and produce about 500 tons a day. And they have a feedlot with 20,000 head of cattle. So good old Argentine Alberto Fernandez ripped the page right from the playbook of his deputy, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, and went ahead and took it over. And they plan to nationalize it. So now the country is going to own the biggest exporter of processed beans. Really don't know whether they'll be getting the biodiesel, but for all appearances' sake, everything that's under the umbrella of Vincentin will be taken. So, this is a good example of how that type of a government actually operates. There was no time given for them to be able to just make a move, and do whatever they had to do to be able to get out from underneath this. The government decided they were going to take it over, and they did.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty scary, is what it is. And we hop over to Brazil, Todd. Brazilian grain farmers, they're coming off a pretty good year, we know, and they have generally good yields. So they're out buying equipment like wild. Who does that sound like? Does that sound like us? Absolutely. Agricultural equipment sales in Brazil was up 61% in May compared to April, and 23.3% over May of last year. So you know that there's some money still moving around. Todd, the one thing we didn't talk about is I have that what the report does for the USDA, the day of the report and 2 weeks after the report.
Oh, sure.
I'll just hop over there. And when we look at the day of the report, basically, if corn is up, it's positive 10 or down 7. And this is kind of a mid-range report, so it's not an extremely volatile report. Negative-wise, 55%. So that's pretty close to equal chances. When you look down the road, 2 weeks from the report, positive change 23, negative 31, and unfortunately, it ranks as the number one report as far as negative goes on this system. When I look at beans, We have day of the report up 4 or down 7. Pretty quiet, don't you think, compared to what is normal. And 2 weeks later, up 42 or down 40. And neither of those both fall more into the center of the pack in terms of how likely it is to change. So it's neat to watch this because of how close it comes sometimes to what really happens.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it. And we'll talk with you again next week.
Thank you, Todd. Have a good one.
You too. That's Jackie Vex. She is with Total Farm Marketing. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that right there from our website. Just click and play our ag programming at willag.org, willag.org. And we post our Commodity Week program before it ever airs on any radio station there. That happens about 5, 6 o'clock on Thursday evenings, maybe a bit later tomorrow night, but it will be there. You can check that out anytime you'd like, and all the rest of the programming as well. You can find the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week as a podcast, too, in your favorite podcast applications. Places like NPR One, which I think is as easy to use as any of them, along with Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, whatever podcast application you use. Just search for the Closing Market Report or Commodity Week, and you're likely to find our programming, and you can listen to it on demand anytime you'd like. Try it out in that Bluetooth radio that's in your pickup truck or in the combine or the tractor or whichever farm implement and vehicle you happen to be in. We'll be glad to be with you each and every business day of the year. On a Wednesday, let's check the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I think the remnants, Drew, of crystal ball finally cleared through my part of the world earlier today. Kind of heavy rainfall at about the 8 o'clock time frame, and then things just have turned beautiful, although there is a pretty good wind outside. How about for you?
Yeah, that's right. A large part of the western portions of the Corn Belt are dealing with some wind right now on the backside of that particular storm system. The storm itself really wasn't too much of a surprise as far as its rainfall potential is concerned. We saw a lot of 1 to 2 and 2 to 3 plus inch rains occur from Arkansas up into Iowa and now up into Wisconsin. And but the wind is around it, and we do have some winds that are gusting to 40 and 45 miles per hour across parts of the western Corn Belt, and most of that's out of the north. So some cooler and drier air coming in, but for the most part, this storm has helped to bolster topsoil moisture in some of the western Corn Belt, which helps to buy a little bit of time, of course, for a better opportunity for rain to run across a big part of the Midwest.
Well, let's make our way, and we'll go from the east to the west this time around. Drier bias, I take it, for the eastern part of the Corn Belt into the Delta and the Southeast?
Yes, that is right. The eastern portions of the country are going to miss out on any influence from Cristobal. So as it moves on up into Ontario, Canada today, we're just going to see the wind switch directions for the eastern Midwest, but there will be no insurgence of rainfall of significance. Now, we will have a chance for a few showers coming up over the coming week. The precipitation, though, that occurs is going to be sporadic and light, and definitely a net drying bias for all of those areas you mentioned.
Does that mean that we'll have drier areas continuing in the northern plains?
The northern plains definitely do have some dryness issues going on in the eastern part of Montana and the western portions of North Dakota in particular, and it does extend up into Canada. We are looking at a potential change in weather, though, starting late this weekend and then through next week for those areas, and the potential for having rain occur a little bit more often is going to rise, and there's a lot of producers out there that are hoping that that's indeed going to be the case. I think there's a fair chance that we will see at least one, if not two, little storm systems moving through some of those areas. It may not be a fix-all, but it'll definitely moisten up the soil and improve the short-term outlook for crop development.
What are conditions like in the southern plains?
Boy, it's hot and dry down that way. Not much precipitation coming up for a while from southern Kansas and southeastern Colorado through much of Texas. There's been a lot of concern about late-season planting in parts of West Texas not getting completed in the unirrigated areas because there's no moisture to be had, and the weather pattern is certainly not promoting any kind of change here. So daily highs in the 90s to over 100 degrees will occur through a big part of the next 10-day period for that particular area. And I'm a little concerned that that drought that's evolving down that way is going to expand to the east and maybe a little bit to the north as we go forward through the balance of this month.
Keep on going west all the way to China. Check in on their growing regions for me.
You know, China has had a real problem with dryness here over the past few weeks in the east central part of the nation. And it's a very rich grain and oil seed, cotton, rice-producing area that's been impacted by this dryness, centered on the province of Henan. And just last night, we picked up on some significant rain. The first rain in about 5 weeks, I think, for some of that region. Temperatures there have been in the 90s to over 100 degrees on a daily basis, too. So this was a real good step in the right direction. I think some of that dry region got 1 to 3 inch plus amounts of rain. So really nice there. Now, they'll take a little break today. They'll see some more rain in that same area tomorrow. And then they go back into 10 days of drying. So this is probably buying them some very important time, and the crop stress that's been present is going to be eased for a while, and perhaps the impact of the dryness so far will be minimized, at least for now.
Let's continue to circumnavigate the northern hemisphere from the east going westward into Ukraine, and then maybe you can wrap us up in parts of Europe.
Yeah, in Ukraine, we do have some declining precipitation potentials occurring right now. They've had some really nice rainfall over the past few weeks, and the soil has improved greatly from where it was when we first came into the spring growing season. So the crops are doing better there than they have most of this season, but they are now going to turn the corner and go back into a drying mode for at least the next 10 days. They'll firm up a bit. Now, they're not looking at excessive heat, so temperatures will be seasonable, and that will help to curb some of the losses in moisture there. But it's going to be important that they get some timely rain as we get out into the latter part of this month. And then the rest of the western parts of the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, those areas have all seen a regular occurrence of rainfall recently, and they're plenty moist. But areas far into the northwest part of Europe are not seeing quite as much rain as significantly as other areas. So parts of the United Kingdom and Germany and France are still looking for better rains. I think they're going to see more scattered showers as we go forward through this next 10 days or so, but those big, heavy soakings of rain probably aren't going to hit that area, and so we're going to have pockets that remain a little on the dry side.
Hey, thanks for taking us around the planet.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too. That, of course, is Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Thanks for being with us. I'm Todd Gleason.